Okay, what's going on?
AudioToYou.com.
The home of quality podcasts.
Stay tuned to this channel.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to a very special episode 130 of Shutters Inc. with no Shelton Muller. Contrary to the intro. No, this is going to be a series of interviews with various vendors from the floor of the Imaging Technology Show, which is happening this weekend as I'm recording this at Darling Harbour here in Sydney. So let's get right into it. First up, the guys at Fujifilm.
Hi Connie, how are you going?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Not too bad. So explain this 3D imaging. How does it work?
Okay, there we go. At the moment, I really can't explain a lot of how it works.
Okay.
The fact that this is totally prototype for us. But it does use two different lenses to take the images that it's using.
Okay, so it's a dedicated camera with two lenses.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Well, at the moment, this is a prototype, not a camera as such.
Right.
But what you can do on this is shoot in 2D and 3D.
Okay.
But if you're actually shooting on 3D, you don't need glasses to look at the screen. You can actually see the screen looks 3D
right.
at the time. You can also do 3D video. It is a little bit hard to watch to start with. Your eyes have to get used to it.
I can imagine.
It's very... Yeah, very different, very unique in what it is. We're the first camera out there.
Yep.
The fact this is only a prototype, we don't actually have a camera to announce yet, but the technology is being developed by Fuji.
Okay. Do you have an estimated street date for this product?
No, but I think it will be 2009. So it will be
Before the end of the year.
Yes. But we don't have a date at all at this point in time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So once you've taken your photo or video, what happens then?
At the moment, we're also developing a 3D photo viewer. So I have a prototype.
Which looks like a little digital photo frame.
Yes. And on that, you can view I could probably view 2D as well as a 3D on there, but that's where you can view your photos because at the moment, nothing else will be compatible with it.
Right.
So besides viewing on your camera, you can view on the frame. And then we're also developing the ability to print. And we've got a few examples here today, which obviously we're a printing company as well. And that's to a way that our labs can print a 3D image, which is sort of like a lenticular device over a photo print.
So is the intention that there will be some sort of domestic printer that people can buy to print their own?
No.
Or it'll be done at a lab?
Yeah, it will be done at a lab. We don't do home printing. We specialise in retail printing.
Yep.
So the solution will be a retail option.
Okay.
I'd say it's not going to be a cheap option to start with because it is very unique and very different for us. So I'd say
a home printing option will be
very far away, even if someone else picks it up as well, because it would just be too exorbitant to have, you know, that sort of printing at home, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. And format-wise, what sort of format is the camera saving its files as? Are they some variation of JPEG? Are they RAW? Are they...
To be honest, it's a file that we've looked at the prototype one and we don't know if that's what the final one is coming out as. So we really can't say yet because we actually have no specs at all on what it's going to look like in a camera, except for we have a prototype here to show people.
Beautiful.
So we don't have any detail, but there'll be announcement. If we're doing it out this year, the announcement will be within a few months, probably saying what it is going to be in as a model.
Awesome.
But at the moment, I have no idea. This is all we have. Prototype to take some photos with.
Excellent. Okay, Connie, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Next up, I went to the Ricoh booth.
Martin, welcome to PMA.
Thank you very much.
You having
nice
a good day?
Nice one, Bruce. Very well, thank you. Yeah, very good time.
Excellent. So you're with Ricoh.
Yeah.
What have you guys got that you're promoting at PMA this year?
Okay, actually, we're actually trying to push the new model at Ricoh CX-1.
Right.
The CX-1 is new technology in terms of we're going less with megapixels and we're going more with image processing.
Nice.
So in that respect, we're not getting involved in the pixel race. We're getting more towards the image processing. And then because the camera is based around CMOS sensor, then we can have all these advanced features or let's say new technology or innovation, which gives the user much more opportunity to take better pictures in more varying environments.
So what are you trying to do with the image processor that's different?
Okay, well what we got there is a CMOS sensor.
Yep.
Now the CMOS sensor is the eye and the brain of the camera.
Yep.
Okay, the CCD is only, we can say is the eye only. Okay. Now, because the CMOS has got the eye and the brain, then we have the opportunity to use that to our advantage in terms of efficiency and speed of the camera and then image processing. And then those benefits relate to faster shooting times,
so reduced dynamic shutter range. Lag?
Yeah, reduced shutter lag. We can achieve 120 frames per second.
Whoa!
Right? Yeah. So these are the advantages. So now the challenge for us is to pass that information to the consumer,
yeah,
who's been told for maybe the last 8 or 9 years, CCD, the higher the number, the better the picture quality.
Right.
Which in actual fact comes at a point where that's degrading the whole image itself, right? So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so is this camera released already? Like, is it on the market now?
Sure. Yeah. The camera's been in the market since April this year.
Right.
As I mentioned, it's a 9-megapixel CMOS sensor camera. Those features I talked about earlier, one is 120 frames per second. One is multi-target AF. It's a tracking, let's say focus tracking system. The other one is dynamic range, double shot. Typically, a normal digital compact camera has 7 EV. Now, an EV is exposure value.
Yes.
So that means there's 7 steps from black to white.
Yep.
With this camera, we can achieve 12 EV. Yeah, exactly.
That's impressive.
For a compact camera, it's quite unique. Yeah.
But for digital, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't want to go there, but you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
That's awesome.
And the other point is the multi auto white balance function, which actually analyzes the picture. It's like this, right? It takes a picture, it breaks that picture down into 81 small squares, and then it will adjust the color temperature or white balance for each square.
Wow.
So you can have like an example, like a mixed lighting situation with daylight, tungsten, or incandescent.
Okay.
It'll balance all those light sources in one picture.
Whoa.
And make it look natural and to the naked eye.
Now, I'm not familiar with the camera myself, but does it shoot in RAW?
Compact, no. We do have RAW cameras, which are our so-called H-line cameras, which is GX200 and GRD2 camera.
So something like the multi-white balance thing, it's being written to the image, but you really can't do anything to change that afterwards. If for some reason you didn't want it.
Oh, if for some reason you want to have an overall...
wanted a consistent white balance.
Yeah, of course. And then in that menu, we have white balance setting, but our white balance setting includes 6 settings.
Oh, okay,
so
great.
One is manual, one is multi-pattern, one is single white balance.
So all bases are covered then.
Yes, exactly. Right. So
that's awesome.
Very excited. It's a great product. It's something new to the market. It's new innovation. It's new technology. So now our next challenge is to pass that benefits the consumer.
Excellent.
So they can understand that.
And what's the name of this camera again?
It's a Ricoh CX1.
CX1. And what do they retail for?
It's $599.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, Martin, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you, Bruce.
And then it was on to Canon.
So I'm talking with Andrew Giles from Canon Australia. Andrew, welcome to PMA.
Thanks, Bruce. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's looks like it's going off so far.
Oh, look, it's going incredibly well. Since the doors opened this morning, we've had people flock to the stand. It's looking like it's going to be an incredibly busy weekend for us when it opens to the punters on Saturday, tomorrow, and also Sunday.
Fantastic. So what's Canon promoting this year?
Well, this year's Canon's 50th anniversary of SLR camera sales. So we started our first SLR sales in 1959, so we've been in the game for a long time. And what we're really showing at the Canon stand here is Canon's basically coming together under the banner of creativity. So, you know, we've got leading capture devices and leading output devices, and we're bringing them all together here under on the stand. So,
right. Any new products that you're particularly pushing?
Look, we've had some recent announcements with our Pixma Pro printers. They're,
right.
They're a focal part of the stand, so really exceptional quality printing.
Yep.
For enthusiast photographers, basically anyone, they're the ultimate companion for a DSLR camera. So,
right.
Really getting images out there in the highest quality possible, and you can control the creative process from capture to output.
Right.
Mm. We've also got a really exciting little selfie product, which is our compact photo printer.
Right.
It's going to be a great little one. It's a CP780. It's a pink. Great pink design.
Right.
It's easy to use. It gives lab quality results. 100-year archival life in this great little pink package, which also matches one of our Ixus range compact cameras, the Ixus 95IS, which are both in the funky pink colour. We expect that they're just going to go be a very popular.
Big hit with the girls.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Excellent. And what form factor is the printer?
So it's a compact photo printer. So
just a 6x4s?
6x4s, but it also does passport photos, calendars, those sorts of things. The small.
Yep.
The very small images as well that you can peel off the stickers and those sorts of things, business cards. So those
Fantastic.
Sorts of applications. Yeah. Yeah. So very flexible.
Okay, and SLR-wise, anything new on the horizon?
This counter, the SLR counter has been, a focus of the whole the stand to date. Today we've seen the 5D Mark II,
yep.
which is obviously a very popular camera, and it has moved the market incredibly since it's been announced. And we've also got the entry level, the EOS 500D, which is also full high definition video and a digital SLR. So those two cameras are incredibly popular with people for the ability to take full high def video,
yep.
as well as incredibly high quality still shots.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, well, enjoy the show.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Andrew.
Bruce.
And then Olympus to check out the EP1.
Lisa Forrest, welcome to PMA.
Thank you. Welcome to you to
Thank
PMA.
You. So you're enjoying it so far?
Absolutely. It's been a great day this morning.
It has, and it's only trade and media. So what's it going to be like on the weekend?
Well, as you can see, we've pretty much geared up for a lot of consumers to come through today and over the weekend. And looking at the stand, you can see we've got only the very latest of the technology that we have on offer available.
Right.
So
yeah.
if you come down to see Olympus stand, you'll see the latest Pen camera, which is brand new.
This is the EP1?
It is the Pen EP1. It's not even available in the stores yet, so the first time you'll ever get to see it will be here.
Wow.
We've also got our full range of SLRs on display as well as all of our lenses. So for the people out there who like to see some of the larger lenses that you might not see in your local photo store, come on down, you can see them as well firsthand. Yeah.
So what is the street date for the EP1?
Street date for EP1? Probably another 3 weeks or so.
Not far off.
And we've had a lot of our larger retailer partners come in today and a lot of the big camera stores, and they're absolutely thrilled with it. So, can't wait to get their hands on it.
All the buzz on the net. Everyone is raving about it.
Absolutely.
So what is it?
What is it? Well, as we say in the marketing, it's not a compact, not an SLR, it's a pen. So, in fact, what you can say is it's a camera that's got an interchangeable lens, which gives you the quality, image quality of an SLR, but it's as small as a compact body. So it's the best of both worlds.
So I'm assuming it doesn't have the shutter lag of a compact.
Absolutely. That's one of the big advantages. We've totally redesigned the shutter mechanism to deliver some fantastic quality, but also the lenses. We've got great depth of field available for all of our lenses. We're actually launching the first EP1 with two micro four thirds, we call them lenses, which is the platform with which this is built on. And a couple of adapters as well. So if you're
just to back up a sec, what does a four-thirds sensor mean? How big is that across diagonally?
Well, a four-thirds is effectively similar to your aspect ratio, if you like.
Right.
So the sensor that we've got, the most important thing to remember is the sensor that we've got inside the new EP1 is really no different in size than all of our existing digital SLRs.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that compact cameras can't offer at the moment.
Right.
So, really, the trade-off has traditionally been the bigger the sensor inside the camera, the bigger the camera has to be.
Sure.
But also the better the picture quality.
Yep.
What this means, though, is that most of the time it's maybe not the most convenient thing to carry around with you because the camera is bigger.
Sure.
So what we've done with the pen is really concentrated our design so that we can get the smallest and most classically designed camera, if you like. So you can literally take this camera anywhere.
And it certainly has that great retro look to it.
It's fantastic.
Awesome.
I mean, it's aluminium top and bottom, and it's stainless steel around the middle. It's got a really nice quality feel.
It must feel pretty solid.
It does.
Wow.
Yeah. Really nice quality feel. Big 3-inch LCD screen on the back as well, and very easy to use. So this camera, the best word to describe it, is really versatile. It's got some really high-end features for all those people out there who are looking at very high-end SLRs as their main camera and they want another smaller camera to take with them in a more convenient setting. So you can shoot up to ISO 6400 on this one with a brand new processor.
And a live histogram.
Live histograms, all sorts of stuff on it, which is good.
How good is that screen?
Screen's really nice and big.
Sensational.
Absolutely. But it's also got some really good features if you're actually more of a compact camera kind of shooter,
right.
And you want that ease of use, but the really good quality that a digital SLR represents. So features like intelligent auto, which is one of the most powerful automatic features
you
can have. So what intelligent auto does, it's a mode that you can stick the camera on,
right.
And the camera will actually interpret the shot that you're about to take,
okay.
And it will apply one of six scene modes automatically.
Oh, okay.
So if you're going to take a landscape, for example, it will look at the shot, it will see that you have, for example, a lot of blue sky or a lot of greenery around, and it will automatically set the camera to reproduce blues and greens to very good colour reproduction.
Okay.
Similarly, if you're taking a portrait, the camera will automatically, again, scan the shot. It will see that you're taking a portrait. It will locate the face. It will turn on the face detection inside the camera and ensure that your exposure and also your focus is in the right place, that being on the face of the person in the camera. So if you're a compact camera user who really wants an easy way to get great photography, this is fantastic. But likewise, if you're a professional photographer or a high-end enthusiast photographer, it's also a great camera because it does offer a lot of advanced features inside the camera as well. A lot of manual override, you've got manual focus, manual white balance as well. You can set your white balance to whichever Kelvin rating you like.
Nice.
And all in a package that's so easy to use and very versatile to how you're used to shooting, which is the most important.
I'm not a keen proponent of the feature, but I notice it does video as well.
It does. This is the first camera with interchangeable lenses that offers this feature from Olympus.
Right.
It shoots movie in 720p, so high definition movie.
Yep.
If you want to plug it into the camera into your TV to review, it does actually play back in 1080i as well, so it's fully compatible with most high definition TVs out there at the moment.
Awesome.
And the great thing is for if you're interested and aware in our art filter functions that we've got in our digital SLRs, our E30 or our E620, So the art filters actually apply effects that are very similar to a lot of traditional photography effects.
Right.
So you've got, for example...
So these are digital algorithms applied to the image at the time of capture? Is
absolutely. Yes,
oh,
they
wow.
are.
Okay.
So what the camera will do, it will shoot in RAW and then automatically make a copy into JPEG.
Nice.
Very high quality, though. So, for example, we've got one called Pinhole.
Yep.
And what that does is it replicates...
kind of a vignette effect.
Absolutely, around the image. So it's kind of like the old toy cameras, the Holgers or the Lomos.
Right.
Very traditional style of photography. And you can get that actually in your camera. Now, we have that already in our digital SLRs.
Yep.
This camera, the EP1 or the Pen, also offers that in still mode, but it offers it in movie mode as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you wanted to get really creative in your movies.
Top Gear look.
Absolutely. very easy to use as well. So all you have to do is set the camera into movie mode, and then once you're shooting, away you go.
Fantastic.
Which is really good.
So you said probably 3 weeks for a street date on this.
That's
what about
right.
a price when it hits the street?
Yeah, absolutely. The single lens kit will come with obviously the camera and the 14 to 42 mm lens.
Right.
That'll retail for $13.99.
Yep.
And the twin lens kit, which is both the little 17 mm prime lens and the 14 to 42, that'll go for
$17.99. Nice. Well, enjoy the rest of PMA.
You too.
And good luck with the EP1.
No
it
worries.
Certainly looks like a winner.
Thanks very much.
No worries.
Okay.
Next up, the Sony stand.
Anthony, welcome to PMA.
Welcome to you.
Thank you. Having a good day?
Yeah, it's been quite interesting.
Now, you're the product specialist for Sony's Handycam division.
Mm-hmm.
What are you promoting this year?
So this year it's very much for us all about, in the entry level, flash media technology.
Right.
So recording directly to flash media as opposed to tapes or DVD discs. And up in the top of the line in our high definition product, we're very much about some of our killer new features that include an improved optical steady shot mechanism,
right.
which is actually 10 times more effective than last year. And
wow.
also we've introduced GPS receivers on our top of the line products as well. So you can literally map where you've been around the world as
That's
you travel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so coupled with our 240 gigabyte hard drive on the top of the line one,
yep.
it gives you so much scope to track where you've been around the world. It's
yeah.
quite impressive. It needs to be seen to be believed.
I can imagine.
So it's quite
and,
cool.
And I assume that's stored as metadata somehow?
Yeah, so it's actually stored, the GPS coordinates are stored as metadata that accompany the individual video file or the JPEG file as well. And then using the software that we provide, you can integrate with Google Earth or Google Maps to then give you that true user experience. So it's a true Google Map, the ones that are updated all the time, so it's always the most current one, and overlay with little pins that show you where you've actually taken your footage. So it's quite
nice.
It's quite a nifty experience, and we're just showing a few people today and they cannot believe it. They think it's so awesome to be able to trace your holiday back through a series of visual images with maps.
Yeah, particularly if you've forgotten to identify the shot at the time and you're thinking, oh my God, where did I shoot that?
Yeah.
You know, that's great.
So we all know that people usually start off with welcome to Paris sign or something and then they take all their France photos. But to be able to actually physically see on the map where you were, and it's more fun when you're on a boat or in water because you can actually see exactly where you were off the coast.
Of course,
It's quite interesting. So we're getting a lot of a really good response for the GPS especially. The other one that's probably not as demonstrable on recorded media, but that really does have to be seen to be believed, is this, the new improved active steady shot mechanism. So it's the way
that
the
camera...
Yeah, so it's the way that the camera corrects your footsteps. So you know when somebody's recording their footage and then when you watch it back, it's all very shaky and unwatchable. So this really improves that by 10 times, in fact. So what we can see on the left
is
a traditional
amazing.
Mechanism. And then our improved mechanism, so 10 times greater. So it's perfectly, it's pretty much dead still.
That is.
Very confident just, saying dead still. It's quite impressive.
Just to describe it for the listeners, there's a sheet with two cameras mounted on it, and the sheet is wobbling, and there are two LCD displays, and one's obviously not got the image stabilization, and one screen has, and yeah, that is amazing.
It's quite a powerful demonstration, and it's something that our customers are specifically asking retailers for when they come in. I want the camera that keeps the image dead still. So it's quite impressive, and it's a major breakthrough for us for this year. And no other manufacturer has it. So it
saves a lot of time of having to do motion tracking later.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful image right from the camera itself. And of course, the best thing about it is it's optical. It's not some magical electronic trick in the background. So it's truly compensating for your movement.
Wow. Okay. Anything else that you want to talk about?
I think maybe if we just talk about, maybe we'll go back to the entry level for a second. So flash is very much the new cool thing. So our flash flash cameras are representing around 30% of our current market.
Yep.
And Sony's very much stepped up to the game with their coloured options. We've got built-in memory of 4 gigabytes, so no other manufacturer has that. So everyone else needs you to buy media, so we supply 4 gig. It's enough for about 2.5 to 3 hours worth of recording before you need to worry about linking up to the computer.
That's cool.
And you can always expand that with memory sticks as well.
Sure.
So this is very much for the YouTube generation. All of our cameras can upload instantly to YouTube. But these ones in particular are very much that casual shooting for shooting's sake kind of atmosphere and mentality of youth these days as well. So they're probably our newest products, our entry-level flash products.
Yep.
And they're doing really well in store, so people are really appreciating the design, the small form factor, and the fact that they literally can get started straight out of the box without needing to buy any media at all.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Nick from Sony Australia, welcome to PMA.
Thank you, Bruce. Welcome to
having
yourself.
A good day?
I'm having a great day. Did although my legs out? Are a bit sore.
You got another 2 days of this.
I know, don't remind me.
So you're the product specialist for Alpha?
That's correct, yes.
What's new in the Alpha range?
Well, today we're actually launching three new models, our three entry-level models, the A230, the A330, and the A380.
Okay, they sound like aeroplanes.
I know, the A380 especially. Thankfully, it's a little bit more compact than an Airbus.
Yeah.
All three models are very, very similar in terms of aesthetic look and basic feature set, but there are some key step-up features as you move through the range.
Right.
So the A230 is our entry-level model.
Yep.
It's actually the lightest DSLR on the market with in-body stabilization at the moment, which is a title we're quite proud to hold. Stepping up to the A330, we add a feature called Quick AF Live View, which for those that don't know means you can shoot off the LCD screen rather than having your eye chained to the viewfinder. And then stepping up to the A380 is just a megapixel increase.
Right.
So you go from a 10 megapixel sensor in the 230 and 330 and then up to 14 megapixels in the A380. One of the biggest new things, I guess, that we're pushing here is that for a lot of new users or people who are coming to DSLR or maybe familiar with using a CyberShot or some other form of compact camera, can be very inundated or confused with all the array of manual settings that they've got. So that's something that Alpha has tried to address with these new models. And I have to say they are probably the easiest SLRs to operate on the market for someone who doesn't want to know anything about how the camera works, or okay. even for someone who does want to learn a bit. So there's three areas that we've addressed that. The first is our inbuilt help guide. If you select any of the modes on the camera, it actually brings up a short description of what that mode does, a sample photo for you, and tips for how to get the best results out of that mode.
Wow, that's neat.
It also filters right through our function menu. So if you do open up the menu and go to change any settings and you hover over one of the settings, it'll actually explain what that setting does. So you've got a bit of an understanding of what you're actually changing on the camera.
Nice.
Now the display on the back, which displays all the shooting information, that's actually been simplified a lot as well. So you can choose that to have that completely uncluttered and just show you the really, really key things. And it looks a lot like the screen that you'd see on a compact camera. And they've done that very deliberately. For those that do want to learn a little bit more, we've introduced a new GUI system. Now, the way this GUI works, it basically has a visual representation of aperture and shutter by two sliding bars. So if you want to, it's very difficult, obviously, to do this via audio.
But can
and
you show
for those
me?
Who are listening, I can definitely walk you through. For those who are listening, I do encourage you to look at this online.
Yep. I'm assuming there'd be video demos on the Sony website.
Yep. That is correct. If you go to aperture priority or shutter priority modes, rather than seeing a traditional display, you actually see this bar here, which has some rebus figures. So at the moment, we're in aperture priority. Now, for those that don't know, aperture affects depth of field or how out of focus the background is from your main subject. This is represented on the left-hand side of the bar. You have a little figure with an out of focus mountain behind them. On the right-hand side of the bar, you have a little figure with an in-focus mountain. By winding the adjustment dial, you just move this bar towards either end to achieve the effect that you're after.
Yep.
So this is what I mean where I say that people who want to learn a little bit about photography, this is a really, really good stepping stone for them to grasp the basic concepts of shutter and aperture. Yep. So that's a couple of the little things that we've done to enhance the interface and the usability of the camera.
That's fantastic. That's quite unique. I've not seen that in
anyone else's product. No, it's something very new and it's getting a lot of excitement here today.
Fantastic. Okay, so other than the three new bodies, anything new else?
Nothing else new. Of course, we're showing our flagship A900 model, which is our 24.6 megapixel full frame camera. We're showing off some of the brilliant Carl Zeiss lenses as well as some of our other kit lenses.
I was going to say, some of these lenses look like they're slightly redesigned. Am I correct? Or?
That's correct. Obviously, when Alpha took over Konica Minolta about 3 years ago, we rebadged a lot of their lenses, Sony lenses, but we are, as we expanded this market, expanding our lens range as well. We're very fortunate to have Carl Zeiss commissioned to make a range of lenses for us. And from a photographer's perspective, I have to say it's some of the best glass on the market, second to none.
Okay, so Nick, tell us a little bit about the compact range.
Well, Cybershot is obviously moving leaps and bounds. There's always massive advancements in terms of compact cameras. This year, I guess, the focus is moving, I guess, off a megapixel and optical zoom count into more of a feature set.
Okay.
And the product that we're showcasing today is the new DSC HX1. This is our new flagship Cybershot model. It looks a little bit like an SLR. We call it an SLR type camera. Key specs, I mean, it's a 9-megapixel sensor and 20 times optical zoom. It does use the G-series lens, which is Sony's premium lens range. 20 times zoom is pretty remarkable in something so small. It is also the first Cybershot to feature the Exmor CMOS sensor, so moving away from CCD. Now, by using Exmor CMOS, it actually brings about a range of new advantages, and one of those is the ability to shoot at 10 frames per second when shooting in JPEG mode, which is pretty remarkable. It also uses a mechanical shutter to achieve that.
Right.
Now, by shooting at 10 frames a second, it opens up a couple of cool new features. The two I want to talk about today is, one is called Twilight.
That's almost video.
It is,
frame
I know.
Rate, isn't
it's,
it?
It's getting right up there.
For web video.
With that said, it also has the capability of full HD 1080 recording for video.
Oh,
with
serious?
Stereo audio. Yeah.
Wow, in a compact.
So, in a compact camera.
That's mad.
The two features I do want to talk about, which are thanks to the Exmor CMOS sensor. The first is handheld Twilight. Now, what this does is when you push the shutter button, it actually does a burst of 10 frames in a one second time span. It then compares those images and looks for any movement between the images. So if it detects movements, it'll actually remove that bit of the image and replace it with one of the other images. It also uses it to cancel out noise. What it means is you can basically shoot in extremely low light situations without a flash and get very, very sharp, noise-free images.
Wow.
The other one's pretty cool, and again, this is something you have to see to believe.
Right.
I do encourage those who are online here, you need to experience it. It's something called Sweep Panorama.
Okay.
Now, basically, if you move the mode dial around to this little setting here, you can hold the camera up, you'll see an arrow on the screen.
Yep.
You just push the shutter button once.
Yep.
Now, shooting a panorama, you see this box down the bottom.
Oh,
as I move the camera around.
Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Oh, so that was continually shooting in that?
Just continued 10 frames per second as I was moving. So now when we go into playback, you can see this is one seamless panoramic image.
Wow.
That we've just shot. And we can look at that in closer detail and you can see how seamless it actually is. So it's a pretty nifty feature. And we've got some examples up here and also on our website if you want to have a look.
So
or those at home have a look.
These images that we're looking at here, obviously the listeners can't see them, but are they shot on a tripod or are they just handheld?
No, just handheld. Just push the button, sweep the camera around. Beautiful panoramic
image.
That
is phenomenal.
And one of our new photo frames is actually able to display these images as well.
Oh, nice.
The V-Series photo frame.
As in it scrolls across
It actually scrolls across on the photo frame, which is a pretty remarkable little way to show off your photos.
That's awesome. Okay, and so this is out on the market now?
This is in the market now, yeah.
And what do they retail at?
$1,099.
Not bad. And what's the product name again?
It's called the DSC HX1.
Fantastic. Okay, Nick, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then it was over to Kodak. Darren Swenson, welcome to PMA. So, what are you guys at Kodak promoting this year?
One of the big key items that's being shown here is the pocket video camera ZX1.
Wow, okay.
It's a high definition video camera that allows...
It looks like a mobile phone.
very different functionality in terms of mobile phone. But yes, again...
But same sort of form factor.
Correct. And then the target audience that this is aimed at essentially is appeal of that form factor.
Okay.
And also the interface in terms of how the buttons work and how the software works.
Yep.
All very aimed at the technology in terms of online community, video sharing.
Yep.
Because it's one touch button upload through to YouTube.
Nice.
And it captures this at high definition video, 720, 60 frames per second. It is a very good product.
Wow. Mm. So it obviously has some sort of Wi-Fi built into it, I'm assuming.
Wi-Fi, no, not this point in time. Not Wi-Fi, it's connection.
Connect via USB? Or?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So it comes in multiple colours.
Sensational.
So again, targeting at an audience.
Yep.
What we're showing on here, you'll see predominantly the red, pink and black.
Yep.
But we've got two other colours, blue and yellow, coming in later in the year.
Fantastic.
So again, just a multiple appeal in terms of the audience.
And so this is not on the street yet, or it is?
It got launched, I thought probably soft launch is probably a better way to say it.
Right.
Soft launch about 6 weeks ago, but the full launch now kicks in.
As of PMA?
As of PMA, correct.
Fantastic. Yeah. And the street price on that?
$299.
Wow, that's pretty good for a high-def video camera.
Correct, exactly. Now, it's got unlimited memory capabilities.
Right.
It's got small memory built in because the software itself is actually on the camera.
Right.
So if you're actually out and about, you can always connect because the software is actually built into the camera. So you haven't got to worry about taking the CD or memory card with you to load your software. So it's got that, but then it's got the expandable capabilities with putting in whatever size memory card you've got.
And what format of memory does it take?
SD.
SD,
correct.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Now it also comes in the box HDMI connection directly through to high definition TV. But yeah, so basically out of the box, you've got your HDMI cable. If you're at home, you've captured your video, connect straight to your high definition TV, and there you can be viewing your world on TV.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, beyond this, anything else that Kodak's promoting?
Yeah, I haven't finished on this one though. It's an exciting product. This is really good for us.
It's
also weatherproof.
Wow.
So it's actually aimed at outdoors. You're outdoors, and you can't actually go swimming with it.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of you're out, get splashed.
But you don't have to be too sensitive
about
it.
Exactly. And the multiple accessories that come with it are fantastic. You can get an armor wrap to go around it.
Right.
So again, makes it more rugged when you're outdoors. You can get what we call the action mount. So again, the target audience that we're aiming at, it can connect to your helmet, it can connect to your bicycle.
Wow.
So you can be capturing your life as you're out and about. And then you've got all the other bags and everything else that allow you to carry the device.
That's great.
Basically, it's out of the box. It's ready to go.
Awesome.
Which is fantastic.
Any other products that you want to talk about?
In terms of new products, our digital frames.
Yep.
With our digital frames, again, I don't know whether you're familiar with our frames. Okay.
Well, I'm not familiar with your frames, but I'm familiar with the concept of a digital photo frame.
We've got three categories of digital frames.
Yep.
There's a standard, what we call our P-Series frames, which is just for photos.
Okay.
So essentially, we're saying to the user, if really all you want to do is share photographs, then we've got the product for you. Now, our products are also touch border, so you're actually not worried about a remote.
Oh, okay.
So you actually can come up, and in terms of the border, I get my finger on the right. That one's got the the menu comes up. So you're actually not having to worry about finding that remote to actually use your frames. There's also a proximity sensor that as you get close to it, the menu will come up. So it allows for a greater interaction with the actual frame. You also got some functions in terms of having a clock
on display,
a calendar.
Oh wow.
This picture. and then a collage feature which allows all the photographs to come up.
Oh, very nice.
So again, it's really aimed at, if you want to share your photographs, we're saying we've got that product to fit here.
Yeah.
We then have our M series,
right,
which is aimed at a multimedia series. So okay, if you actually want to be sharing video and sound, you move into the multimedia feature. Everything else on the P is the same, but you're now actually sharing video and sound.
So you can now play video on it as well.
Correct. And then we have Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow.
You mentioned Wi-Fi on the...
So that's nice.
Yeah, correct. So,
that means I can leave all my images on the PC and just wirelessly route them to the photo frame.
Correct.
In the house.
And you can have multiple photographs photograph frames on display in your house.
Wow.
So you set up folders for each one of those frames, and then you can just rotate your images around.
That's fantastic.
It is, it is. It's a concept that the market itself still trying to get their head around, but once people see it and understand it, it really is starting to take off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I have one bugbear with all the photo frames that I've seen so far, and hopefully yours have addressed this. All the ones that I've seen, particularly the cheaper ones, they can only be stood or hung in a landscape orientation.
No, it's got auto mode in terms of auto orientation.
So you can hang it portrait,
correct,
and put all your images,
correct,
on there. And
I'm assuming I'll pick the right one up here.
Yep.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It allows, yeah. And it's got the auto orientation, so it'll know which way you're actually positioning the frame, and the photo will fit in with that.
Fantastic.
Correct, yeah. So at the moment, it'll actually fit in with the aspect ratio of what you've got. So sometimes you might get an image with a bit of a border around it.
Yes.
That will be addressed with the next range of frames that come out, where it'll actually capture the full aspect ratio in the screen.
Fantastic.
So the customer gets a better experience. And of course, I'm going to say this, our quality of our screens are far better than anybody else's.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we get that Kodak science built into the technology behind the screens.
Yep.
So you're not just viewing an LCD, you're viewing an LCD that's been touched by Kodak, therefore getting all that color science coming behind it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, well, Darren, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the show.
No, thank you.
Then, Memento Pro.
David Watson, welcome to PMA.
Hello there.
Enjoying it?
Having a great day.
Excellent.
Great day. It's been super busy. Super busy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
So Memento Pro, what is it?
So we're essentially a photo book company. We've been around for 5 years. This is our fifth PMA. Every year it gets bigger and busier.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So is there anything new in printing that's occurred in the last 12 months? Or?
Look, new for PMA for us this year is a lay flat page, which is been pretty much the holy grail of photo books and photo book companies sort of worldwide.
Okay.
So what it is a page that's got a special sort of hinge in it that allows it to lay flat.
Okay. So your image doesn't kind of disappear into this groove, is that what you're saying?
Like a traditional book bind. So that,
right,
you know, you've got the option now of being able to do a lay flat design or, you know, traditional sort of book design.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how have you achieved that?
We import the paper from the US.
Oh, so it's a special type of paper?
Special type of paper that we have imported.
Wow.
We're the first company in Australia to have it.
Okay. But obviously there must be something different about the binding as well, surely?
Yeah, so it's a new technology that basically they're fashion. So it uses a plastic kind of hinge.
Right.
Which looks much better than it probably sounds.
Right.
Okay. And look, basically the pros that we've had coming through today, they've all been clamoring over each other to try and get a look at it.
Right.
The response has been fantastic. A lot of people really like the idea of photo books, but want it to look more like a traditional album. And so these books bridge that gap between a book and an album.
Okay.
At a lesser price point.
Right. And for our international listeners, do you do international orders?
Unfortunately, we don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the lay flat page technology is sort of permeating around other companies around the world.
Right.
So, you know, people want to get that, you know, they should speak to their premium book suppliers about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, that's all.
That's pretty much.
Yeah,
okay.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Then I had a chat with the guys at Westwell.
Peter Wakefield, welcome to PMA.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It is good. So tell us about Olin.
Well, Olin's our own brand.
Right.
Westwell's our company.
Okay.
And we have a number of brands that we put out. We've decided to focus here for the PMA show on the digital photo frames that we bring out under the Olin brand, plus also our flash media.
Right.
And we've just launched a brand new SD card called the Fusion SD.
Right. And what's the unique point of that?
Well, the difference is, where your standard SD, you've got to take it out, put it into an adapter to put into a computer.
Right.
This has a USB on the end of it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
As in, it's a double-ended stick.
It's so a double-ended stick.
USB on one end and SD
and
on the other.
SD on the other.
What a great idea.
Certainly is. No software required.
Yeah.
So with every camera that's being sold by the retailer, that's running an SD card.
Yep.
Here is the perfect accessory for them to sell.
Fantastic. And I'm assuming that all of your photo frames use the SD card slot.
I certainly do. Yeah.
And we've got a very impressive range of frames.
We've got probably the most extensive range of digital photo frames out there, ranging from your 7-inch right through 8s, 10s, 15s.
Right up to a 32-inch. Yeah. That is awesome. That's a beautiful looking screen.
It's a magic screen. We've had a lot of photographers wanting that for their showrooms.
Yeah, so, I can imagine.
Yep.
I can imagine.
Response has been excellent.
And I've got to say, you've certainly covered the gamut in terms of decorative frames around the frame, if you know
certainly.
What I mean. Yeah.
And you'll notice that when you're looking at our frames, or especially our frames compared to a lot of other ones in the marketplace, that the resolution is absolutely superb.
Right. I have one bugbear with digital photo frames.
Sure.
And I'd be happy to hear that someone's addressing this. Every single photo frame, digital photo frame that I've seen so far, is only designed to stand in a landscape.
They can all be turned.
Can they?
They can all be
Fantastic.
Turned.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Because none of the ones that I've got in my house can.
Right. All of those can be turned. We've got from basic just photo frames to ones that'll play music as well.
Yep.
To Wi-Fi.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Hey, Wi-Fi sounds great because then you can leave all the images on your computer and
exactly.
just network it.
Yep.
Wow.
So, all reasonably priced.
I do like the idea of being able to have one stand portrait and then have all your portrait images on that frame and all your landscape images on a...
Certainly. Just turn the frame over and they'll adjust themselves.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's clever. That's very clever. Yep. And so price points?
Price points. Look, we start off with around your retail price point of $129 and work your way up. We're not an expensive brand.
No.
We're a quality brand. A lot of people don't know of the Olin brand at this point in time, but we're getting our product out there and be supported by some fairly big hitters in the retail marketplace.
That's fantastic. And where are you being sold retail-wise?
Well, retail, we've supplied into Harvey Norman.
All right.
We've also supplied into Kmart and Target. And we've got most of the photo industry having a look here, and I can say that quite a number of them will be running with the product in the not-too-distant
future. Fantastic. Is this your first PMA?
No. Right. We exposed the Westwell brand, which is the company, to last year's PMA. This is our second PMA, but we thought, well, we'll focus just on the photographic.
Frames. Yep.
And so frames and recordable or flash memory.
Flash memory. Yep. Well, Peter, all the best with the show, and the product looks great.
Terrific. Thank you.
Next up, back to Shelton's favourite haunt, Nikon.
Craig, welcome to PMA.
Thank you very much. Happy 2009.
It was half over, yeah. So what's Nikon promoting this year?
Oh, we've got the whole range of products, obviously. We've got the standard DSLR Coolpix lineup.
Yep.
But probably the thing that Nikon's really behind this year is actually more about pictures. So we're going back to bare basics. You know, the products are great. You know, we've had huge conversions in terms of the professional market, massive acceptance.
The D700 certainly kicking some goals for
That's
you.
Exactly right. So people have wrapped themselves around the D700 and D3 like we couldn't have ever dreamed.
Right.
So in terms of, we're getting comments like, you know, these products have changed the way that photography happens.
Wow.
So that's... you know, the words, you know, groundbreaking get thrown around all the time by marketing departments. But we've got five professional guys talking on the stand at the moment, and each one of them has either used or been using either the D700, D3 and D3X.
Yep.
And mainly with the D700 and the D3, they keep saying it's changed the way that I take my photos. I see light in a different way. I can stand in a street where it's pitch black and there's a single incandescent light over in a window 3 feet away, and I know I can put somebody in the middle of a street on a wet, rainy night and get a really moody shot. It's just incredible. So their way of setting up photography, their way of seeing things has completely changed. So it's a really exciting time for us, you know, to be involved with these guys, the image makers, because we're providing products which are allowing them to make these incredible shots that they've never been able to do. Marcus Bell's getting some beautiful work, and he's on his site, and you go and have a read through his blogs. He's got some of his Tokyo shots, and you have a look through those, which he's taken using the D3, and they are mind-bending. Rocco Ancora, who has recently switched over to Nikon product. He's ditched all of his old cameras.
Wow.
He's come across
and of course Shelton loves his D700.
Well, yeah. Shelton's not biased.
Not much.
No, but I mean, when he fell on his knees as he walked under the stand this morning, I thought there might be something going on, but
so you saw that.
Yeah. But we're talking about the capabilities of the camera, and yeah, it's when we get guys exactly like Shelton who know they're testing the gear, they are all the stuff that he's doing, in terms of the reviews for all manufacturers.
Yeah.
And he's coming past, and it's not the ad for Shelton, but he's coming past and he's telling us that this camera is doing things that nothing else can do.
Yeah.
But at that technology, it's going both ways. So the D3X is now recognized as being the sharpest SLR style camera that's available, in that, right, FX format, the 35mm full frame format, whatever you want to call it. We're getting some incredibly large prints out of it. So we're not just talking about display. So we've got a massive print on the stand, which has been done on the new Epson printer, the new 12-inch Epson 9900. But in terms of the professionals who've been coming through the stand, they're looking at this and they're going, this is just incredible. It's using a zoom 24-70 lens. Yep. David Oliver, again, another person who's converted across. He's taken the shot while he was away.
Yep.
D3X, first time, straight out of camera print. Yeah. And the time that it's taking for these images to get captured to then get converted into a print or an output onto a screen, the color spaces, everything's aligning with people's interpretation of what they set the cameras for. But from camera to camera, and even if you go from D3X to D3 to D700, there's a seamlessness and a productivity which you're not getting from anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so the colour spaces, the use of colour, the reproduction. Sure, there's differences in the pixel count and maybe the resolution between a D3 and a D3X, but you pull the cards out, they're getting the same file.
Who's going to notice the difference between those sorts of pixel counts anyway? Unless you're printing something the size of a building.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, no, I'd be reluctant to say, film is dead, but the film is really, 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 it's such a minority.
Close.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Close.
I mean, any photographer who's still on film now is using it as a niche, because of a look and feel.
Yeah.
And that's what they're marketing it on. So
it's
again, going to be a small portion of their market. One of the reasons why David Oliver, ditched all of his Leica equipment and came across to Nikon was because the D3 was the first camera in all of his years that he said actually produced a filmic look.
Right.
Okay, and so that was the deciding factor for him was, he'd seen digitals beforehand, he'd even seen older Nikon digitals, and he'd seen, different manufacturers' digital with higher resolutions and a whole bit. And he kept coming back to the fact was that his Leica film shots still were better.
Yeah.
And it was just, and it might not have been a resolution better, it was just a almost a textural, a warmth to the shots.
Yeah.
And he said, you can't reproduce that feeling. And then somebody showed him the D3 and he said, well, let me try it, and then now he owns one. I mean, from our point of view, that's sort of happening. But even, like I said, that's been the exciting part for us, is getting those guys to talk about their images on the stand, but also going to that next level is they're talking to people, the enthusiasts, the people who are really into photography, and these are people who are coming onto the stand with their D90s and D5000s, or coming along to check out the new D5000. And they're getting blown away with what's being done with those products as well. So we've got film clips which are being done by production houses now using DSLR.
Yeah.
I don't know the band heavily myself, but there's a band called Snob Skrilla.
Okay.
And that there are, I think there are, no, that's right. But they're and the song's not bad. But the whole thing is that the visuals, the look of the D90 shots when they're on there, that shallow depth of field, the again the focus on the eyes, but the color reproduction is sensational, and so you're getting a really nice look to the 720p files that you're getting out of it. And the reason why they like them is because the file format is still high definition. It's actually a 24 frames per second, so you're maintaining that cine.
Yep.
You're not doing a 30 frames per second NTSC, you're not doing a 20 frames per second on your own format. It's D5000, that's exactly right. And then the format that you're saving in is an AVI as well. So completely compatible. You pull it out of your camera and you go and plug it into your...
Straight into
yep,
Premiere
that's exactly
Pro,
right.
Final Cut Pro,
yep, or whatever, yeah, or even if you just open up the stock standard, you know, Windows Vista or whatever, yep. You know, you've got an editing suite that will work with those files. You don't need to have something can down, you know, edit yeah. H.264 codecs and the yeah, whole bit, you know. So, and that's, again, Nikon's trying our best to make a camera that is user-friendly and also at the same time incredibly powerful to allow people to get out there and create stuff. And so we've got screens everywhere showing off great photos taken not only by great photographers but our own staff and users. Yeah, and it's really exciting. So,
and I notice you're also promoting the 50 years of the F mount.
Yep. So obviously, yeah, milestones all over the place, and you know.
That's so. Well, Craig Gillespie, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Then over to the Adobe booth.
Andrew, welcome to PMA.
Hello. How are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. It's been a good turnout today.
It's been fantastic. We've been quite knocked over by how many people we've had coming through, sitting down, yep. spending what they thought would be 30 seconds, having a listen and spending the whole day there.
Really?
Yes.
So what's Adobe promoting at PMA?
Well, our main focus here is just to show photographers and people who are working with any type of photographic workflow how much easier it is to do common tasks with the Photoshop family.
Right.
Like, that's not just Photoshop itself, that's Lightroom and Bridge as well.
Okay. How's Lightroom been received so far?
Well, we have a lot of questions about why would I use Lightroom when I've already got Photoshop? And that's a really interesting question because Bridge gives you a lot of the previewing functions
right.
that most people aren't aware of. You can look at the metadata of an image
yep.
and you can have a good visual representation of that image before you open Photoshop, which is great. But if you're a photographer and you're working with a lot of imagery, or you have like a large number of images on a contact sheet, for example, then the benefit of Lightroom is that it's actually a database. So whatever happens to that image gets stored as a data record. If you move it, you can still find it, and all of the metadata can be applied to groups of photos in one go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a really good plus if you're working with a lot of images and you need to work quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I love Lightroom myself. Yeah. I guess the one thing I'd love to see, and hopefully this is, you know, somewhere on the roadmap yeah. for somewhere down the track, would be the ability to layer images within Lightroom, like within that sort of non-destructive environment. Do you think that's something we'll see at some point?
Yeah, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's the thing is, when does Lightroom stop being Lightroom and become Photoshop? And you know, we're always about convergence with a lot of these products. So I think it's a... what I like most about the latest release is that you can do a lot of your pre-processing and a lot of all those quick tasks
yep.
really easily inside Lightroom. So if you do just need to make like common adjustments to say you shoot off like 40 images and your exposure is just slightly one notch down.
Yep.
Like in Lightroom, you're able to apply a simple change to the levels to all of those images in one go.
Yep.
If you've got like a spot of dust on the lens throughout an entire shoot, you can group select all of those images and apply that filter to all of them in one go. Now,
nice.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's non-destructive, if you do want to roll it back, bingo. You don't change your original record.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that's good stuff.
All right. And I see you've got some pretty decent named speakers on the stand at Adobe.
We are just blown away by the quality of, you know, people love to come and talk about Adobe products.
Yep.
So we've just had a fantastic run today. And I think a lot of the reasons why people are sticking around is just because each session you learn a little gem at each one about how to take better photos. That's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of PMA.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thanks
nice
for talking
to
with
you.
Us.
Next up, Lifetime Art and Photo.
Neil, welcome to PMA.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
It's a good turnout.
Oh, fantastic. We've had a really good time, yeah.
This sort of turnout for a trade and media day means it should be a pretty good weekend, I'd imagine.
I think so, yeah. We're primarily targeting the trade
right.
rather than the
rather
people
than
the Sundays. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So Lifetime Art and Photo, what exactly is it?
Okay, it's a printing process where we actually embed the dyes into the anodized layer of aluminium.
So you're printing a photo onto a sheet of aluminium?
No, we're actually printing it into the sheet of aluminium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a
not
completely
on,
different...
Into.
No, exactly right.
Right.
So it intrinsically becomes part of the metal surface.
That's awesome.
So you can't scratch it off. You've got to gouge it and go deeper than the die. So you've got to go beyond 20 micron to actually get it out.
That's pretty full on.
Yeah, it is. It's very durable and, yeah.
I mean, I've just been having a look at some of the samples you've got hanging in your booth. It's a very impressive way of displaying an image. You know, it's certainly different to canvas or print or...
It certainly is. Well, one of the good things, by the dye going into the metal, you move around it, and because of the structure of the metal, it catches light differently where you stand and where you look. And, yeah, it's quite unique. It's primarily a handmade process still, so it's, you know... fairly unique.
Okay, so are you only dealing with Australian orders or do you deal internationally?
Look,
or?
We do deal internationally. We did the American War Memorial in Normandy in France about 18 months ago, all of the images in that place. That was a big one. We used to distribute in the States, but about 2 years ago I sold the manufacturing rights to the US market. So, I'm now banned from selling into the US.
Fair enough. Okay, so you say you're focusing more on the trade side of it rather than the consumer. How do you find your clientele and what sort of quantities do they need to order to make it viable?
Look, there's no real quantity because it's primarily handmade. The process is much the same. You don't get a lot of benefit by doing multi-runs because it's still going through the same process.
Right, so one-off is not a problem?
No, not at all. Okay. We very much like the one-offs. I guess...
So does that mean that you would take, you know, just Joe Blow with his good photograph and deal with them or
we,
not?
We try not to, mainly because of the, you know, we're tending towards a bit more of an exclusive thing where it's something that professional photographers can offer their clients that the clients can't just go in and get somewhere else.
Right, you know? Okay.
And the beauty of it is we're the only ones doing it, the only one that has the technology to produce these photos, so it gives a bit of an edge to the professional photographer.
Okay, so if someone is in business as a professional photographer, you would deal with them?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, that really speaks to our listenership.
Yeah,
because
good.
We do have a lot of working professional photographers listening to Shutters Inc. So,
fantastic.
So this is great. And mate, I commend you on the quality of the product. It looks fantastic.
Thanks very much. And the way to get in touch with us is basically through the website, which is lifetimeartandphoto.com.
Fantastic.
And, you know, once we qualify that somebody's a professional photographer, we give them a password to get into the, you know, the pricing and the FTP areas so they can upload their photographs to us and we manufacture.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks very much, Bruce.
Then it was across to Wacom.
Rick, welcome to PMA.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about Wacom tablets.
Okay, well, Wacom.
Yeah.
Sorry. You've got it now, actually. You were saying Wacom, and it is Wacom. So Wacom is Wah meaning harmony with computer.
Fantastic.
So Wacom tablets have been around for a long time.
Yep.
They've kind of evolved from the early days of, you know, the high-end digital imaging systems, Quantel. In fact, on the Quantel paint box in those very, very early days was a Wacom tablet.
Right.
And as, you know, tablet, as PCs have evolved, so have the tablets, so have our tablets.
Right.
And to this day, I guess the major thing was in the early tablet, in the early PC days, the tablets didn't have that kind of real-time feel that, you know, the early sort of very expensive systems on the Quantel, you know, had this kind of real-time airbrushing and all this sort of... So it took a little while for the processing power to kind of
catch up. Yeah.
But now, of course, every laptop gives you this beautiful real-time, you know, interactivity with a pen.
Nice.
And, of course, Photoshop has evolved and, you know, the other imaging applications have evolved from the ground up to accept pressure sensitivity.
Right.
So, you know, in practical application, that would be, say, for cloning and the ability to clone with opacity. So that, you know, rather than with a mouse where you just, you know, a click is like a stamp with a tablet, a touch and then pressure applied allows transparency or opacity in a variable to be controlled, you know, hence where you're, you know, photo montaging or you're, you know, you're cleaning up some facial, you know, blemishes and whatever, using a tablet will give you a much more controlled result.
Fantastic. And product-wise, what have you got that you're promoting here at PMA this year?
Okay, well, there's really, I guess, two sides to our product range, professional and consumer.
Right.
So in the enthusiast consumer space, we've got Bamboo.
Right.
Entry level is $129.
Okay.
Through to $300.
Yeah.
And then in the professional, the Intuos range, we've now released the Intuos 4, which provides a high level of professional features for somebody who's using and working with images every day.
Yeah.
We have four sizes, from small, medium, large, and extra large.
Right.
And so their price range is around $350 to $1,000.
And I heard you saying to the guy that was at the booth before you and I started talking that you would go for the larger size tablets if you've got a larger screen resolution. Would you? Is that right?
It's actually more to do with your environment, so what sort of desk space you've got,
right,
versus what screen real estate you're using.
Yep.
And I find that the type of work differs.
Okay.
So, a lot of the high-end retouchers want a one-to-one experience with their screen.
Right.
Hence, they would go for a larger tablet, which suits the size screen that they've actually got.
Yeah.
And of course, if you're using multiple screens, that's also a consideration. So trying to get across multiple screens with a mouse can sometimes become painfully slow. If you've got a tablet, you can just sort of tap from one to the other and bang, you're on the other side of the your screen. So these are the considerations. I started off with a larger tablet, and I tend to use a smaller tablet.
Okay.
I come from the design and creative space, but I've done a lot of photo retouching in my time.
Right.
And I also use the tablet as a mouse replacement as well. So I'm pretty well using the tablet for everything. So
awesome.
I quite like the small size Intuos 4 for that reason.
And what are the price points in the Intuos range?
So around $350 in the entry.
Yep. So small.
Mid-range, about $650. Don't quote these, but you can go on wacom.com.au or buywacom.com.au and look at these sorts of pricing.
Fantastic.
And then so on. So it goes bigger. But then beyond that, we have the Cintiq, which is our screen tablet. So the idea of having a direct on-screen experience with a tablet is a very expressive way to work. So, a lot of digital artists and designers are using these.
So does this supplement your existing monitor? It lies flat on the desk like a tablet does, but it also gives you a copy of what would normally be on your monitor?
Well, you're describing the Cintiq 12.
Right.
So that's exactly what that does.
Okay.
And you can use the Cintiq 12 like a normal tablet or like a screen tablet,
yep,
depending on what type of work you're doing. It's very versatile from that point of view. Looks very similar to a normal tablet, but it's got a screen in it, and it can sit flat on your table. The Cintiq 21 is a bigger, more, it's a bit more imposing.
Okay.
And you would probably use that as your primary working
monitor. Right.
Although you can work with, maybe have that running with another monitor that might be your color proofing device however else you want to configure it. It's very versatile. The idea of all our products is that it becomes part of an ecosystem, and you design what that ecosystem is, what your workflow demands.
Fantastic. Well, Rick Holland, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And then I had a chat with the guys at Maxwell Australia.
John, welcome to PMA.
Nice to be here.
You enjoying the show so far?
It's outstanding.
So what does Maxwell represent? It seems like you represent just about everything in Australia.
Everything except for cameras. We're the accessory people.
Right.
We're very lucky to represent some great brands from international markets. Lowepro,
yep,
the bag business. Camera, yep, Armor for the little shell that protects your camera, yep, from bumps and bruises. We have Lens Baby, that wonderful selective focus lens, which...
Yep.
for a lot of people, brings their photography to new life.
Okay.
It's a whole new way of seeing. And certainly for me, I've been shooting for 50 years now. It's,
yep.
I don't like to admit that, but it's it's really been a wonderful experience. So that's Lens Baby, and that's available for SLR photography.
Yep.
We've also got Velbon, and we're rather excited. We're introducing a new ultralight carbon fiber line, Geo, from Velbon. Right.
These are tripods.
These are tripods, and so many people think, oh, well, now we have stabilized lenses and everything.
Yep.
But sometimes you want to be in your own picture, tripod, or yeah. sometimes you want to do a 30-second exposure at night. So
absolutely.
Tripod's still an absolute essential for great photography. And then looking around the rest of the room, of course, Coke and filters.
Of course.
Now, you might think that with Photoshop and all those other wonderful technologies, you don't need a filter anymore. But the old adage that get it right in the camera,
yeah.
and control the dynamics of your image so that the recording medium can actually record it.
I notice you've got a lovely full-size print there of one of Shelton's shots from Patagonia.
Ah, yes.
That looks stunning.
Well, Shelton Mueller was one of the first people that actually realized that if you control the dynamic of the image, you could actually record what you were actually seeing.
Yes.
Whereas the digital sensor very often can't cope
cannot.
With that dynamic
yeah.
range. So he's a great exponent of that and has gone on to be used around the world by Koken as an example of someone who
uses
sees how
product
how
and
filters.
Does it well.
Yes, yeah. wonderful.
And of course, he's also a fan of one of your other products, which is your Tamron lenses.
Ah, yes. Well, when you're traveling as much as he does, and he takes photo shoots around the world
yeah.
and tours, you don't really have enough space in your bag to carry all the stuff that you might like to have. So I've just come back from 3 days in Malta for a
lovely.
Conference with Tamron.
Yeah.
And I, well, 2 days of the conference, and I had 3 days between conferences. I arrived early, and as a business person, one does not very often get a chance to shoot.
No.
And I just walked with a backpack, one camera, and Tamron's new 10 to 24 lens.
Oh, lovely.
And the 18 to 270 VC.
Yep.
So I had from 10 mil to 270, or yep. in old 35 mil terms, from 15 to 420.
Nice.
Two lenses, and I walked all day. And I've had back surgery, and I can tell you, you know if you've got too much weight.
Absolutely.
This was a wonderful experience. Got some great images, inside and out.
Fantastic. So has Tamron got new lenses out this year?
Yes, those two new lenses yep. Came out just at the beginning of the year. The 10 to 24 is getting accolades for the value that it represents, at sort of the $1,000 mark, which previously just wasn't possible to get
right.
a lens that wide. And the 18 to 270 VC that has up to four stops of vibration control.
Wow.
That really does mean that you can shoot a 300 millimeter, you can shoot a one-tenth of a second image.
Handheld.
Handheld, and
wow.
it's sharp as a tack. Wonderful stuff.
That's full on.
Yeah, it really is. Quite remarkable.
And what camera mounts do those two lenses come in?
Well, they're available in two lens mounts, Nikon and Canon.
Yep.
For the Sony user, of course, they've got vibration control built in.
Right.
So we have for that the 28 to 300 mil
right.
lens, not quite 15 times.
Yep.
But that's still a fairly 11 times zoom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all exciting stuff.
Fantastic.
And Tamron's also introducing, yep. if I might just add,
sure.
A great new 60 mil f/2 macro.
Whoa.
So great for portraiture,
yeah.
because on an APS camera that's 90 mil, lovely
yeah.
portrait length,
F2, yeah.
and in addition, 1:1 macro. So
wow.
very nice little lens.
And closest focusing length on that, or distance?
I don't know the answer to that question.
That's okay.
It's really touching the lens, pretty much.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome. And I notice you also represent GorillaPod.
Yeah, we're very excited. There's a lovely new product called the GorillaPod Focus.
Okay.
Which will take a 5 kilo professional video camera.
Wow.
So you can actually wrap it around a gate or a lamppost or whatever.
And it'll hold a 5 kilo.
And it'll hold those.
Whoa.
Yes. So
that's impressive.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Because I have one of the tiny little ones.
Yes.
I need to get myself the SLR one. But the tiny little one is great if I want to put my flash off camera. just put the flash on.
And I'm very glad you raised that, because we think Gorillapod, for a lot of people, it, now that we have wireless flash,
yes,
with many of the great brands of cameras,
yep,
it really is absolutely obligatory to use off-camera flash and get this more natural-looking
absolutely
light.
Yep. You can do so much more with the flash away from the camera, or off the axis of the lens anyway.
Ultimately, great flash photography should not get in the way of what you are actually seeing. It should, yeah, just assist in that. And putting a Gorillapod out in the wings, yeah, and just using the wireless control that's available in Nikon and in a slightly different way in Canon, yeah, and I believe in Sony now, all wonderful stuff.
Fantastic. Well, John, thank you very much for your time.
It's been great.
And enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you.
And finally, I caught up with Epson.
Craig, welcome to PMA.
Thank you very much.
So, what's new?
What's new? We have a wide range of inkjet devices ranging from A4 right up to 64 inches wide.
Wow.
We have scanners and we have multimedia devices.
What sort of multimedia devices are we talking about?
We have two on the stand.
Yep.
One is the P7000.
Oh, okay.
And this is a multi-storage device which allows photographers on location to store images and view them in high resolution.
Nice.
And edit.
On a bigger screen than you would have on your camera.
Correct.
Fantastic.
Correct. A lot bigger screen.
Yeah.
And then we have the smaller model of it, which is the P4000, which is more for photo enthusiasts.
Okay.
So smaller hard disk space, but still the same resolution screen that you get on the Pro.
Okay, so these have a hard drive in them, so you can actually copy your images to the hard drive and free up your cards.
Correct.
Nice.
Correct. And you can edit your images on the fly as well. So, you know, for, you know, wedding, portrait, landscape photographers are really out of the studio and not, yep, in the studio.
Yep.
This is the perfect device for them.
Fantastic. And these are both on the market now?
Both on the market now.
And just run through the product names and the prices for me.
That's the Epson Photo Viewer.
Yep.
P4000 and the Epson Photo Viewer P7000.
And their prices on the street?
Roughly around about $1,000 for the 7,000. I believe it's around about $600 for the 4,000.
And with your printers, what's new for PMA this year?
Well, in the A3 size printer, we have the R1900.
Yep.
Which is our Ultracrome high gloss inkset. So A3 plus
nice
in size.
Looking prints.
Yep. This is basically what you see in the A3 plus range from Epson. Is the technology that's on board this A3 printer is really what you see in our larger range products.
Right.
So the Stolos Pro 7900, which is 24 inches wide.
Yep.
The Stolos Pro 9900, which is 44 inches wide, right up to our 64 inch or about 1.6 meter wide printer.
Wow.
So all the technology that you see in our larger format products are basically employed and feature in our smaller A3 Plus products.
Nice.
To give you a real overview in terms of what Epson has, we have everything ranging from A4 right up to 1.5 meter wide. One device though that we have that's relatively new is our burn and print solution, which is the Epson PP100.
Okay.
And this really allows us to offer wedding photographers the ability to burn and print their wedding DVDs.
Oh, nice.
So as you can see here, here's the DVD. That's printed,
wow,
using the Epson PP100. So
that's an image printed straight onto the top of the DVD disc?
Correct.
And you can also burn the data onto the disc at the same time?
Correct.
Wow. And you've got a couple of canisters inside. I'm assuming one is for your blanks and one's for your processed discs, is it? Or?
Yeah, well, you can run this in three modes. And it all depends on which mode you want to run it in and for what purpose. But in essence, you see these two canisters, these, yep, two buckets. You can either load this up with one lot of blank discs, and then the robotic arm,
yep,
which sits under here, will basically can move that disc into the finished bucket down here.
Yep.
Or you can run it in a kiosk mode, which allows you to basically have a pull-out drawer.
Oh, wow.
So depending on which way you want to run it, you can pretty much set this up to run in any environment.
Fantastic. So how many discs can you load into this?
100 discs.
Wow.
And it could be, they can burn and print a mixture of CD and DVD.
Wow.
So it will automatically work out what discs are going where, what is burning, And you've got two drives. So it'll burn burn simultaneously, CD, DVD, and print.
Man, that's a pretty tidy unit.
Yeah, it's our first entry into this market.
Yep.
So we've employed our micro piezo inkjet technology on board.
Right.
So the print quality on this device that our photographers know us for, in terms of our photo quality, you can expect on this device. And in terms of burn and print solutions, the print quality on this is best in class.
Fantastic. Any idea on the price on something like
this? Yeah, this is $6,500, including GST.
That's not bad if you're doing a high quantity of discs, though.
That's very good. It's very good. And what allows photographers to do, especially wedding photographers that do a lot of wedding DVDs, it allows them to bring all that production in-house.
Yes.
It allows them to print and burn on demand what they want for who they want. And they're not going outside their own studio to actually get this done.
And it means that they can proof it for themselves before they commit to the quantity run.
They can proof it for themselves, and they can also reduce, I suppose, the risk of copyright and content going outside, because they're controlling all that in-house.
Absolutely.
You know, ever since we've been selling our wider format printers to the photographers, they like the fact that they're doing the printing in-house because that also controls their copyrights and copyright infringements.
Fantastic. Well, Craig, thank you very much for talking with us.
No problem.
And enjoy the show.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. That's just a brief, maybe not so brief, look at some of the vendors who are displaying at PMA show, or the Imaging Technology Show, however you want to refer to it, here at Darling Harbour in Sydney this weekend. For most of you, you'll be hearing this after the event. But hopefully it'll just give you an idea of what it was like and what you missed out on if you weren't there. All right, as I'm recording this, it is Saturday night. Tomorrow evening, Sunday night, Shelton and his son Nathan and Richard Annable are all coming over here, and we're going to have a round table discussion post-PMA, which will be a very loose but hopefully a lot of fun version of the podcast. We'll talk to you then.
This has been another AudioToYou.com podcast. For previous episodes, check out
ShuttersIncPodcast.com.
Please send questions, comments, or feedback to studio@AudioToYou.com.